Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, B'tochen Shir, number 47. We're at the conclusion of Chayves Halvavis, Perek Zion, the seventh Perek. And he says that, Ki even Shishlamdu B'shar Zem Asher Yerolei Medvarko Yisakitzeg Sargaseinu. We presented the main ideas of this Shar. This conclusion we're going to say mostly in English, just to give the general idea. And it's now befitting of us to discuss the obstacles in trusting Hashem. What are those obstacles? So everything we talked about in the previous Sha'arim could be obstacles, but we're talking if you don't utilize it properly. The first Sha'ar was Sha'ar HaYichud, which is about Emunah Pshuta on recognizing Hashem as one. The next one is Sha'ar Bechina, to see the Neflois HaBayre and the kindness of Hashem from your look at your bodies and from nature. Shar Avodas Elokim is serving Hashem, and Shar Bitachin. So you go all the way to the beginning, and you learn it in order. That's how you get to achieve Bitachin. Your first job is actually to believe in Hashem, and to recognize that there's a presence of Hashem in this world. Don't just rely on tradition or on the Messiah. Hashem wants you to use your sensory perceptions of His presence. He wants you to use your mind and your heart to recognize the great Creator that everything has plan and purpose. When you, for example, study Sha'ar HaBechina and you look at nature, you see nature shouting, look at the wisdom that I'm demonstrating, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's complex, and even the smallest seed that falls from a tree is so full of extraordinary wisdom that looking at a seed and being misbinded in it could make you into a maimon. And the complex design that caused the wind to shift it and all these things. And it goes through DNA aspects of it and all of that. So that's an obstacle to Bitachin. You'll have to read the first Shi'arim, the Emunah, Sha'ar Yichud, the Emunah, and the Sha'ar HaBechina and the Sha'ar Avodas Elokim to get to this fourth Sha'ar HaBitachin. Another obstacle he talks about is your ignorance of Hashem and His Binyan HaBayrei Umidas HaTovus and the good attributes of Hashem. If someone does not appreciate the compassion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for His creatures and how He conducts them and how He supervises them and He rules over them and they are bound to Him, so he won't have confidence in Him, nor will we rely on Him. So that's another important thing, that everything that Hashem provides for is beneficial, even things that seem annoying to us or something that's distressful to us is actually a benefit for us. You know, when the wind blows and it's annoying because you have to hold on to your hat or whatever it is, but wind is fantastic. It says that the world cannot exist without Ruchais. To believe Hashem is kind, so that's a very important part that will get you to Bitachin. Another obstacle in Bitachin is when you rebel against Hashem. A person needs to be aware that Bitachin is an obligation, also no less than putting on tefillin. So that's a separate, besides keeping all its mitzvahs, keeping the mitzvah of Bitachin. It's a mitzvah, it's a chiv. We see even with tzedakah, b'chanuni nazais, over there he says, have faith in me and test me. And he brings a pasuk in Yeshaya, "Bitchu b'Hashem adiyah," trust in Hashem forever. That's a mitzvah. It's not just a voluntary thing; it's a chiyuv. And we went through different things that the Rishonim say where you see the Torah, the chiyuv of it. Another obstacle to betachin is not realizing that immediate causes are not the real causes; they are distant causes that are more important. In other words, when you see a cause directly, someone giving you money, other things direct, you say, oh, that is the one who has the power. But if you look bigger, see the bigger picture, and see that that cause has another cause behind it, which has another cause behind it, going to the source, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as an example, he gives that if a king wants to punish one of his servants that rebelled against him with 100 lashes, but he doesn't do it himself, he tells the prime minister about it. The prime minister gives the order to the deputy minister. The deputy minister gives it to the chief of the police. The chief of police gives it to the specific police officer that will do it. And the officer doesn't always do the whip. There's a different type of person that's employed to do the whipping itself. And the officer gives the order to the one who's doing that. And then that one carries it out. So you see, and with the instruments that are there to do it. So you see to the point that the victim or the one that is getting the punishment sees it, it only sees that local police officer commanding the whipper to do it, not realizing that it's the king that's behind it all. In other words, there's a chain of cause and effect. And the idea is that they don't have a will of their own, right? They don't have a will of their own. But the further you go, the higher ranking you go, to the higher officer, to the higher officer, to the minister of the king, until, you know, these are all closer and closer to the true source of it, till you get to the king himself. So that is the idea. And the purpose of understanding these things is to daven beforehand. You daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu beforehand. So how do you overcome these obstacles? So that the way you do this is as follows. We're going to go through this idea of different levels of trust. So he brings down here a trust of a child relying on his mother when it nurses. That's number one. Number two is then he starts recognizing the mother herself and shifts the confidence to the mother herself as a person. Not just because of the milk that he's getting from the mother, but starts recognizing the mother herself. Then as he gets older, he starts recognizing his father. Trust to him. He appreciates the value of his father providing for him. And then he gets wiser and he gets into business and things like that. And he recognizes that also. And so here's the trick to realize this. You're not born with abilities. Hashem gave them to you to earn a living with. He brings a story that someone had a scribe, and he said, "How are you doing?" He says, "Baruch Hashem, as long as my hand's in good shape." He was by tech in his hand. This is a scary story where the hand was removed by an accident and he was not able to write forever. And that was a punishment because he trusted in his hand. Okay, that's a very strong, scary type of a scenario. Hashem help that we should never come to things like this, Chalila v'Chalila. But the idea being, the lesson behind this, though, is very, very true. Don't rely on when you were successful with something, you earn money or you did something with your hands, no matter what, you did a great job with something or an athlete, whatever it is, recognize all these gifts are coming from Hashem. And then so you trust in your own work, and then you trust in other people, and then you trust Hashem finally when you realize people are not reliable, and you trust Hashem directly, just like you trust him with rainfall, and you trust him to cross an ocean, or you trust him with all these things that come up, and you ask Hashem to help you. Some people trust in Hashem to reduce your own risk, right? So that's why you do that. Sometimes you trust in Hashem, this is the next level. You trust in Hashem with simple activities, even with simple activities. That's a very big madrega. You know, you're sitting in the store and there's no shortage of customers that are coming in, but you realize your effort is minimal and you know, you think you can handle them without help, but no, you turn to Hashem for success. You ask Hashem for the parking spot. You ask Hashem for all these little details. And when you're busy with these activities, your purpose is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to keep his mitzvahs. That's why we talked about it before. Rav Igdamil stresses it as well. Why it's so important to work, and why do you have to work if you have betachin in Hashem? The answer is because Hashem told you to work. By doing your regular job in a normal, healthy way, you're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not your job. It's Hashem's decree that gives you the livelihood. That's true. But he wants you to do that. Then there's higher levels of bitachin. The ninth one is acceptance. Total acceptance of Hashem. Recognizing Hashem's compassion. Be happy with whatever Hashem decides for you. In your heart. In your feelings. Outwardly and inwardly. And be happy with whatever Hashem brings to you. Whether it's difficulties or it's easy, whether it's poverty, whether it's wealth, whether it's well-being, whether right now you're not feeling so well. And don't desire anything other than Hashem chose to give you. And again, we talked about this before. That does not mean you don't ask for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give you a refuah or to be marchiv your panos. Of course you do. And you have betochen and emunah and tefillah for that. But right now at this moment, wherever you are satisfied, you recognize it's Hashem and you accept that and you surrender your life and body to Hashem's judgment, and that's the idea. So that's what Avigdor Miller asks. If you're ill, you shouldn't ask Hashem to heal you. Of course, you ask Hashem to heal you. Of course you do. 100%. Right? And if it's raining and you're caught in the rain, you know, and it's very wet and you could go inside when it's dry, go inside when it's dry. You understand? So there's nothing wrong with doing normal things like that. But the idea is to, nevertheless, despite that, recognizing it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu and appreciate all the good of rain, all the good of the difficulties once it's happening, that it's for your benefit. And that is the idea. One big Baal B'Tochen said this, that Lo Yiskamti Me'olam Be'inyin V'Savesi L'Zulasai. This is a big Madrega. I never agreed to anything and then regretted it and wished for something else. Meaning whatever it is, they were Merutzef Hashem. The highest level of bitachin is a total commitment to Hashem, to recognize this world as a passing world, give over your thoughts and your mind and your soul and body all to Hashem. You want to be alone with Hashem, you delight in thinking of Hashem even when you're alone, and you feel empty when you don't think about Hashem, and even when you're in a large crowd of people. Yes, there's mitzvahs that you could do with people, because it's a Ratzon Hashem, but your desire is to please HaKadosh Baruch Hu and yearn to make contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the joy that you take with your love of Hashem brings you joy in this world and will bring you joy in the next world. And that is the Kavanah, and that is the idea. And then he brings down different levels that are betochin and different wordings that are used. Miftach, Mishen, Tikva, Machzeh, Techeles, Chikoy, Smichosh, Sever, Misad v'Kesel. He doesn't go into the exact relationship of the differences between these 10 words of B'tochen, and he gives a big bracha to it. So the bottom line is like this. We finished the Shar B'tochen. We didn't really do it full justice in just 47 Shiurim. We could have, and perhaps it would have been a good idea. Maybe we could redo it at some point and go line by line, detail by detail, and go through it in a much slower, methodical way. You have, Baruch Hashem, many shiurim online that do a more extensive work on Shaar B'tochen, and may HaKadosh Baruch Hu hope that this really should be part of our lives. Never get discouraged. Keep on trying. Keep on working as hard as you can to work on B'tochen, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you all siyata d'shmaya, with tremendous hatzlacha pertaining to it. And Hashem should guide your life and enhance your life with this B'tochen that we all know about and we all share. Bracha v'atzlacha to all.